Hey everyone, Blake Crash Priddle here, and you're listening to The Medley. This week we're going to be speaking with Canadian stand-up comedian, media personality, and game show host Adam Grove. He's perhaps best known for hosting the Canadian version of the game show Cash Cab. In this interview, you'll hear some great tips from Adam on how to become a good comedian and a good media personality and radio personality. Hope you enjoy. Adam, it's nice to have you on The Medley. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, sir.
You know, the last time we talked, it was 10 years ago, back when I was working in Yellowknife.
Oh, remember that? Oh, yeah. Well, I was up there for a golf tournament, I think.
Yeah, I think you were up there for a golf tournament, and you were also doing a show up in Inuvik as well.
Oh, yeah, the Arctic Energy Conference. It was very informative and very inspiring, and it's always fun when I'm, you know, hired to entertain at conferences, and I also get to attend and really enjoy some of the content. And I think that the Arctic Games were also happening that same weekend.
That's right. I found out that you were coming to Inuvik, and because the station had a rebroadcasting tower up there, I thought it would be awesome to do an interview with you, and it really was.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you feel that way, and I'm happy to be talking to you again. I'm sorry it's been so long.
I remember also suggesting that you film an episode or two of Cash Cab in Yellowknife, but the problem is it's only got 20,000 people living in it, so it just wouldn't be practical, I don't think.
Yeah, and then if I happen to kick anybody out for whatever reason, on the rare occasion that people got three strikes in Yellowknife, then I'd have to see them at the local grocery store all the time and have to kind of say, hey, listen, try again next time, you know? So it would be awkward that way with the small population. But you're right. I think that just like Cash Cab, and we're about to release season 10, by the way, it's always the contestants that make the episode so much fun. And in Yellowknife, it would have been the same, I'm sure.
Not only that, but it would be kind of awkward letting people out after they got three strikes and it's freezing cold.
I know, even in Toronto, like we did one time in Toronto when it was winter, when we made season 10, it was October, November, first week of December of last year. And there were a couple of rainy, sleety nights and people were like, you're not really kicking us out. I'm like, well, that is the rules. So you're right, Blake. It would have been awkward in Yellowknife, especially. But you know what? The locals are used to it. So I would be the one who would be having to be pampered all the time with how cold it is with my short time up there.
We're going to talk more about Cash Cab in a little bit, but let's start from the beginning. How were you inspired to pursue a career as a comedian and a media personality?
Well, I think that I've always really enjoyed entertaining people. I wouldn't say that I was at any point in time, especially when I was younger in elementary school or in high school, the class clown, someone who always wanted attention, but I certainly liked stuff like doing sketches for assemblies. I was the person who made the morning announcements eventually in high school and wrote some fun comedy there. So I guess I just always liked being on the mic and being creative. And I think eventually it just, as I pursued my education at the University of Toronto and I was graduating and I was working in the industry of social work, I just kind of realized maybe I should check out something else just to be sure, because I had spent so much time. I was in the musicals in high school and university, produced plays, directed, acted. I wouldn't necessarily say, Blake, that I'm a great actor, but I certainly had that feeling and had tried stand-up comedy at university and still was often on the microphone. So I just decided once I graduated to go back just to check it out. And I went back to a college program in radio broadcasting and I never turned back. I worked in radio for a number of years. I was away from radio full-time for about 20 years, and I'm back in radio now on a part-time basis, just as kind of like one of the many things I do. And once you're kind of, Blake, into the area, like you've probably got the same feeling. Like you do this podcast, you do the radio, you look at what other opportunities are there for me to expand upon this or grow within the very specifics of it. And it just led to other things like more stand-up, some TV commercials, and then auditioning for all kinds of things, eventually auditioning for the role of host of Cash Cab.
Well, I took a radio broadcasting course as well because, you know, I wanted to perform and I figured that radio was an easy way to get in. And it certainly is. But they also wanted to prepare you for the possibility that you weren't going to, you know, get a gig. So the backup plan might be that you work as a brand ambassador or a copywriter or do something else in the creative arts. But fortunately, I think you and I both know that a lot of skills that you're taught in radio broadcasting are transferable.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, Blake. And I think radio does a great job for industry professionals to provide them with other resources and things that can help them grow. And I think it all comes down to if you're a creative person and you want to be in media in any sense, even if you're more of a journalist and a reporter, but especially if you are more lifestyles and humor oriented, and it's really about creative expression nowadays for sure. But even when I started, you know, years ago now, you were wise to have a lot of different skill sets and be interested in a lot of different ways to express yourself. So for me, that has translated throughout my whole career and has always been this case and still is to this day, different places, live on stage, on television, on radio, and even in obviously like this in digital formats.
Yeah, I think writing is definitely a good skill to have. Working in media, any kind of media, writing stories, writing commercials, that certainly is a good skill to have too. And of course, writing jokes.
Well, people have said that, you know, you probably remember this as well. Like when you start in radio, the kind of unofficial rule is you put so many hours of show prep into your show before you're actually working at your show. Right. So if you have a show on the radio that is 4 or 5 hours long, you're going to put at least a few hours of preparation time into that. And the same with stand-up comedy, the same with writing a book or an article. You've got to practice and work your skills or your muscle, if you will, at creative writing or journalistic writing or broadcasting all the time. And I don't necessarily do this, I admit to it, as much as I used to, but you should be writing something, even if it's not for an audience to hear. You should be writing something every day, every single day.
Was anyone else in your family interested in the arts or performing?
Not a lot. It was a big surprise to my immediate family that I even was interested in hosting and being on stage in my younger years. It was quite startling. My mom always tells a story that we went on a vacation together and we were with some of her extended family. And all of a sudden there was a talent night for the vacationers. And all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, I was up on stage doing stand-up comedy. And by that time I had done a little bit in university for my college friends. But my family really had no idea. And then even before that, my dad and his side of the family were quite surprised that I would be the person hosting school events or community organization events that I was involved with as a teenager. They were just completely surprised. My mom is a writer, a retired writer. She did write columns for newspapers and edit and, you know, feature lifestyle features, and was an editor as well. So she's a very creative person. My stepmom, who's been in most of my life since I was almost 10, she's an artist. She does visual art and sculpture and mostly photography and collage, and still is, she's at 92, still creating art. And my stepsister is an artist, a jeweler. And I did have some relatives, distant relatives that were, you know, my mom's father did try a little bit of a pop singer career. There was a little bit of that. And I did have another distant cousin or uncle on my dad's side who was also in radio, but not enough, Blake, for anybody to go, oh, well, obviously Adam's going to get into comedy and, you know, television. Well, there wasn't enough that anybody would say, you know, this is a clear path. But who am I to say, right? Like right now, my youngest is just finishing her undergrad and going into a journalism program specialist post-secondary. So she's going to be and she hosts a radio program for the University of British Columbia on CITR.
That's really cool. I used to host a university radio show as well when I was just starting out.
And it's a great way. I always tell her, like, sometimes it's stressful. You might remember. And I was the same way. you said, what have I got myself into? And all of a sudden you're like, I've got all this prep to do. I've got guests to arrange. I've got to write stuff. And then you remember that there's the joy of when you do it. And so you've got to try to find like all the work that goes into and the anxiety. And there's a little bit of stress, you know, everybody has it, and nerves that you really got to, you know, extend the joy of doing it into all the prep and all the extra work. And I think my daughter is really feeling that. Otherwise, she wouldn't be pursuing post-secondary studies in journalism.
A lot of comedians get inspiration from famous comedians. Are there any famous comedians that inspired your work?
Well, I think a lot about who inspired me when I was really young and then who has inspired me lately. And, you know, you do tend to gravitate towards the professional inspirations for you when you're at that young pivotal age, the same way that music really resonates for you when you're younger. There's all sorts of research coming out now, or at least, you know, that I'm aware of now that identifies, for instance, Blake, that the music that you listen to between the ages of like 12 and 17, even though you might have been alive on this planet for much longer than that, it's really the most significant for you because it really imprints at a time that, you know, you're forming yourself and you're really becoming aware of things. And I think it's the same for me with comedy. And some of the early influences on me in comedy are quite far ranging. I think one of the comedic performers that just still is so meaningful for me is John Ritter. And this is going to date myself. He was the star of this show called Three's Company. And he's a handsome fella, but also just very funny physical comedy, facial expressions, body language just cracked me up. And there's a lot of physical comedians today that are very similar to Jack Tripper, the character played by John Ritter. Look it up if this is something that's like well beyond your listeners' age demographic. More people might remember Carol Burnett. She's still, John Ritter unfortunately passed away a number of years ago. Carol Burnett is still performing and still contributing to great content. She was in, I think, Palais Royal or something Royal recently. But her sketch show and her hosting of that really resonated with me even as a young kid. And then two more for you, Blake. And I can kind of, you know, let you ask questions about that and then kind of dovetail that into more recent. But the two other ones that really resonated with me when I was young were Eddie Murphy with when I saw, because I was really laughing at a lot of sketch and physical comedy when I was a kid. And then when I saw Eddie Murphy's Delirious, which again is aging me, this is from the 80s. It's a stand-up comedy special. I saw that special of the stand-up comedian who was just blowing away the audience on stage, just him on a mic. And that was it. And I was like, what is even happening? What is this? Like, I didn't really know much about stand-up, and Eddie Murphy was just, and still is, incredible. And the last person I'll say, and this is really important to me, because when I was watching late night television as a kid, long ago, one of the icons was Johnny Carson, and there were other characters, and there's many, many more now still to this day. When I was a kid, I thought Johnny Carson was basically doing the same job as Bob Barker. And you might know The Price is Right. And, you know, Bob Barker has since retired. But I looked at late night TV hosts as the same as game show hosts, even though they're very, very different. As a comedian, I know the difference, but a lot of comedians are also game show hosts, and I am now a game show host. And so that really kind of hit home when I, you know, it's been over 18 years since I've been hosting Cash Cab, that what resonated with me when I was a kid is the humor of a late night talk show host. And that's very much how I like to host a show like Cash Cab, is that the contestants, there are rules to the game. There's cash to be won. There's trivia questions, but I'm hosting a show and they're my guests, and I want to make them happy and I want them to have a good time.
I heard that you used to have your own gig with Just for Laughs. Is that true? And if so, what was it again? I can't remember what it was called.
Well, when you're a stand-up comedian, you want to get television credits or any other live stage credits that are going to bolster your career and get you seen and get you cast in shows, or even eventually get you the job of host of a show like Cash Cab. And so Just for Laughs is one of the biggest international comedy festivals in the world, as you know. And so when you're a comedian, it's a very, very big prestige thing when you get invited to perform and showcase for Just for Laughs, and then you get invited to the festival and do a televised gala. It's not the only TV credit I have. I've done Comedy Now. I've done comedy in the States for CBS television, which was a huge audience, live comedy broadcast to 14 million people. I did another comedy show for Comedy Central, which is a cable network in the States. So anytime you can get, as a stand-up, a short set, usually it's about 6 to 8 minutes of television. This is now television, a clip that you can use as a credit to showcase yourself and get booked for clubs and corporate gigs. And so Just for Laughs, my work with them was really attending the festival, performing at various venues, and getting that televised special with them, which still to this day is, you know, one of my favorite pieces of televised comedy I've ever done.
Did you ever have a hard time finding stand-up comedy gigs? And did you have any help from people that could land you those gigs, like, say, an agent or a publicist or anything like that?
I still have a manager. And very early in my career, yes, my manager, who's been with me since almost the very beginning of my career, does help in getting gigs and trying to promote. But at the end of the day, nowadays, you know, I do most of my live bookings directly with clubs or theater bookers. People know who I am and are happy to reach out to me directly. There are times when you are going to have like lower interest than others. Like they call it in the biz, there's not a lot of heat on you. When there's heat on you as a comedian, that means there's a lot of attention and you're having an easy time getting booked. So there's been times in my career where I haven't felt there's a lot of heat on me. And then you kind of wonder, well, what am I going to do now? But that's why it goes back to the beginning of our conversation. You have to have a variety of different skills and a lot of different things that keep you creatively interested and expressing in different ways. And so when you're not getting booked for paid gigs, you can generally find rooms that are what are called the one-nighters. They're not regular comedy clubs. They're a bar or a theater venue that usually other comedians have booked and are just staging a little show. And you can still get a little stage time. And sometimes they're really great. And sometimes those shows do a lot for comedians and have fantastic audiences. And sometimes they're hard because it's just other comedians there. But you're essentially a self-employed business person, Blake. And a lot of people in radio are the same way. Especially as a comedian, though, you're an entrepreneur. You've always got to be, even if you have an agent or a manager helping you, you've also yourself got to be constantly motivating yourself to write every day if you can. And not that I do this, but you should try, like I do try. And you are the one that's responsible for getting out there and looking into different places where you can creatively express yourself. And nowadays, you know, with social media, it's not easy to compete. I'm not making it like, oh, well, you just have a podcast or you make some little TikToks and you'll get noticed. It's really, I know as well as anybody, it's hard to get noticed, but you can still at least create something. There is still these platforms exist now for you to create content and share it. And you never know what might happen. And at the very least, you're creating something and expressing yourself.
That's exactly what I do. I try to push myself to write or to record an audiobook, or in this case, do an interview with an awesome and talented game show host and comedian. And speaking of comedy, for people that are not familiar with your work, what kind of comedy can people expect to see in your shows? Like, do you do observational comedy? Is it improv? Go ahead, tell us what kind of comedy people can expect to see at your shows.
Well, for the past 10 to 15 years, my live show has majority been the quiz show that I've created. That's the vast majority of my bookings. Occasionally, I'm doing just stand-up comedy. I was, as we've discussed, a headline stand-up comedian for over a decade before I even got Cash Cab. And so my quiz show now is a mix. I do some stand-up comedy, and I do quiz show games with volunteer contestants from the audience. And that's where it's fun, Blake, because it's very similar to Cash Cab in ways that I don't know really what I'm going to get with the volunteers. I'm not bringing up people from the audience who don't want to be part of the show, but I don't know who they are, just like I don't know who they are when they get into and they hail the Cash Cab. And there's a lot of improvised, unscripted moments that happen with people from the audience that are just everyday people that are absolutely endearing and smart and hilarious that you couldn't write and then take to another show. It's really reliant on the unique personalities of those people. And so that's what I really enjoy. My stand-up comedy, you know, fits well with that because it is very observational about life, about things that I find self-deprecating and that I'm insecure about that other people can relate to. And then all obviously about my life that other people might or might not be able to relate to, but I try to make it as relatable as I can about being in a marriage and having children and, you know, the various places that I've worked and whatnot. So I think you're right. It's more observational. And I do mix in some of my stand-up between games, but really the highlight of my quiz show is for sure the trivia games, because what I do is I write trivia questions, Blake, that when the volunteers come up on the stage, the whole audience is engaged. They are voting on their phones with an app that I have on the category of trivia that these contestants are going to play. And then the questions are designed not only for the people on stage and these unique personalities in the communities that I visit, for them to answer and prove that they know the answer. But sometimes the way they have to prove they know the answer is they have to pose, or they have to make funny noises, or they have to do movie quotes or sing a song or lip sync or dance. And so the whole show is very energetic and full of a great positive vibe. You're not just watching people play Trivial Pursuit or answer trivia questions. And people act out. These are just, they're not actors. They're just people who want to have fun. And when people want to bring fun and have a joyous time on stage, the whole audience has a great time.
Before you got the role as the host in Cash Cab, you had to audition for it first. What was the audition process like and how did it all come about? Like, where did you hear about the audition for the show?
Well, that audition happened like any television or film audition way back in the mid-2000s. And I remember very specifically at the time, my manager sent me a message saying, I've got two auditions for you to prepare for. And one of them is for this show, you might not remember it, called Last Comic Standing. And it was a bunch of comedians who at the time were going to be living in a mansion and acting foolishly and funnily, and then doing stand-up comedy. And much like Survivor, eventually getting voted off of the show. And Last Comic Standing was popular for a number of years, and there were a lot of Canadian comedians on it. But I knew, Blake, that that wasn't my personality. I didn't think that I would win, first of all, so I don't want to put myself in a position where I would feel more vulnerable and more insecure, as we all tend to be in this business. I just knew that wasn't my strong point. I'm not the kind of person that wants to hold court and be ridiculous and command. Like at a dinner party, I'm just as happy to be a fly on the wall and make, you know, wry comments. So I'm spending a lot of time on the audition that I didn't even audition for. But I always talk about that because the other show at the same time that I did audition for was this Cash Cab show. And my manager said, I don't really know what this show is about. It's a trivia show that happens in a taxi. And what they want you to do is they want you to memorize this list of questions. What they want you to do is memorize this list of questions, and then you're going to go down to this parking lot. You're going to meet the producer and the director of the show, and you're going to drive them around in a minivan, and you're going to ask them these questions. And I was like, okay, you know, this Cash Cab had not been seen in Canada at this point in time. It is a franchise show. There has been a Cash Cab in over 40 different countries around the world. And Canada is one of the longest running now, having done season 10. So I'm really proud of that. But at the time, there was no reference. I didn't really know what the vibe was. And so what was really great about it was I really felt as if I could be myself and just host the show like I imagined I would host a show with this director and producer, these people who I'd never met, asking these trivia questions. But there's two reasons, Blake, I think I got it. Because I know, and I knew after the fact, of a lot of really talented people who had also auditioned to be the host of Cash Cab and arguably would have been fantastic. And I think the two main reasons that I got it are, number one, unlike some of these comedians and many comedians who are my peers, not everyone had a young family and was accustomed to driving around with kids in the car and having to entertain them, right? And I'm not saying that's how you should prep to get a TV show in the future, but I knew a lot of these talented comedians, men and women who were my peers in comedy, didn't have that reference point. And so multitasking while driving and, you know, asking and entertaining people wasn't their core competency, whereas I had that. And that was and that still is really important to hosting the show. And the other thing that randomly helped me, and this is how it goes, Blake, this is just kind of, you want to be poised for success when you get an unusual opportunity. And I'm not just talking about the audition. I'm talking about the fact that they probably saw over 50, 60, 70 people. I don't know how many people they totally auditioned. Usually it's between 50 and 100 people that they see for a show like this. I don't know exactly, but there were dozens. By the time I got down to the first audition, they had seen so many people asking the same questions over and over again, because they sent everybody those questions to memorize. And I did it too. By the time I got there, the two people who were working the show and were going to be making the decision primarily on who got this job were so tired and sick of those questions, they said, we can't hear those questions anymore. Here's a box of Trivial Pursuit questions. Just pick out a card and ask from the cards as you audition. And immediately my initial reaction was like, what? I took the time to memorize those questions and now I have to completely improvise. But the fact that I could and deliver those questions without having memorized or prepped them, and the fact that they were just that much more energetic and inspired because they didn't know the questions. They didn't know the answers. They didn't have to act like they were getting them the first time. So that's just a random thing about where I was placed in the audition that is less about my talent compared to the other people and their talent as it is about just the good fortune. But I was poised to be successful in that moment. I'm not saying that's the only reason. And so that's a long kind of description, but it's interesting to me still to this day. I mean, obviously, like, I got the role and we've done 10 seasons, so I had to keep the role. So it's not like that's the only factor. I obviously am, you know, doing other elements of the game correctly and to the broadcaster's, you know, approval. But that was just kind of a fun way that I feel I got the show.
Well, the show certainly was a big success in Canada, and I really enjoy watching it even now. It's fun to play along, and it's fun to see the contestants react when they win big or if they get a question wrong. It's just puts a smile on your face. It's an awesome show, and my godmother introduced me to the show, and we both played along, and it was fun, especially when you asked the question, what is a beaver's house called? And the contestants said, oh, I think it's a dam. I mean, we've been saying dam all night. And I said, no, that's not it. That's the structure they build to make the water deeper. They live in a lodge.
Well, that's a big part of it, Blake. You're right. People love screaming the answers at the television or at their phone when they're watching the show, because you can stream it now on Crave. People love knowing the answers or knowing when someone's on the wrong path, and they're almost feeling like they're contributing and collaborating as they watch the show, like you and your godmother were feeling. And that to me is a really important part of the show, is the relationship that people watching the show can have with the people who are in the cab. They almost feel like they're immersed in the moment.
Was there anything funny or memorable that happened that you'd like to share with us that happened on Cash Cab?
I think the stuff that happens on Cash Cab, I can think of a couple of stories making season 10, which is coming out really, really soon. You'll be able to see season 10 really soon. And if you're listening to this this podcast at a later date, hopefully you've been enjoying season 10. The stuff that's really funny to me are when something happens and I just go with the moment, and the contestants also, we don't know each other. We've not planned anything. We have no script, and they just go with it. You know, there was one contestant. There's two contestants I can tell you about really quickly. One of them was a contestant who he got in with a number of his friends, and he was sitting in the back. And I noticed he was wearing a shirt that was black and yellow check. it was like a, you know, classic Canadian style looking flannel shirt, but the colors were checkers, red, the checkers were yellow and black. And I looked at him and I looked at the ceiling because I did the reveal at the time and the Cash Cab logo comes on the ceiling. I said, I need to wear that shirt because it looks like a Cash Cab host shirt. It looks like a taxi cab shirt. And he was like, okay. And so we got out of the cab and we switched shirts. And for that game in the episode, I wore his shirt. And that is just silliness to me that I went with it in the moment. And the he didn't go, well, no, this is my shirt. Or like, he was just like, yeah, we're doing this. And then the other one that was very similar. And I love moments when I get out of the cab and there's not a lot of time to include it, but it does happen once in a while. There was a woman who, there was a question about a famous sprinter. I won't give it away. And she said something along the lines, and this is early on in the game. She said something along the lines of, well, you don't want to see me sprint. I run like an ostrich. And of course, I'm like, we're going to see that. And so, at the end of the game, when they finished their game, we got out and she and I ran down the street like ostriches, the best impersonation, if you can call that impression of an ostrich running on the streets of Toronto. And so that stuff to me is just funny silliness that contestants, because they know the show and it's a positive show, I'm not trying to make fun of people. I'm trying to have fun with people. People get that and they're ready to go. And that's what Canadians are like in the Cash Cab. They're just ready for fun.
That's understandable. And I know that as part of the show, you had what you called a red light challenge. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say this. If you had Cash Cab here in Halifax, where I live, you'd have to have not only red light challenges, but also traffic jam challenges.
Well, it is very frustrating to be driving in any major Canadian city, including Halifax and Toronto. There's a lot of traffic congestion, and that does make it challenging to keep the energy up and keep the contestants focused on the fun. But the red light challenges are something that people definitely look forward to. We've talked about what we would do for a traffic jam challenge, but you know, we've decided we've got too many game elements as it is. And we typically, unless it's a red light challenge, or if I pull over to stop and do a shout out, you know, you remember we have the street shout out and I pull over and we get somebody from the side of the street. New in the last two seasons, season 9 and season 10, we added what's called the social media shout out. So I still pull over though and go online on social media and get real time answers from people who are helping out during the making of the show, which is really, really fun. But those are the only times we stop. Other than that, we like to keep the Cash Cab moving so that all questions have a little bit of a neighborhood visual out the front camera and the side camera, and instead of asking questions in traffic. But I love your approach, Blake, and I've been to Halifax. I love Halifax, and I know it's also pretty tough to drive around there when it's really busy.
Now on to a fun question. If you could guest host any game show, anyone at all, which one would it be?
Well, I don't know if I could go as far as to say, because I thought late night TV was a game show, can I say, like, you know, late night The Tonight Show? Or no, I can't say that. I think it would have to be Price is Right, because I really did resonate with Bob Barker when I was a kid. And if it's not The Price is Right, it would be Jerry's show, The Canadian Family Feud.
That's an excellent choice.
Yeah, I love both those shows. And Jerry does a great job. But, you know, Family Feud is also a hilarious game. Just great improvised moments with the contestants. I would have a ton of fun doing that show.
Adam, it was great to have you on the medley. Thank you so very much for joining us. And I wish you the best of luck going forward. And I look forward to seeing more Cash Cab.
Yep, season 10 coming out. If you haven't seen season 9, it's Cash Cab Music. Both of them, in fact, all episodes are available on Crave in Canada. And Blake, really enjoy Halifax and the East Coast. And let's not wait another 10 years to chat again.
And that was Canadian media personality, stand-up comedian, and game show host Adam Groh. I hope that you enjoyed the new season of Cash Cab, and I hope that you enjoyed this edition of The Medley. Remember, we're all kinds of different.